We get the hour underway by welcoming back to the show and to the studio former University of Maine baseball coach. He's the head coach at Stetson University now and the author of a brand new book entitled Walk-Off Winning, a game plan for leading your team and organization to success. Steve Trimper joins us. Trimp, welcome.
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me back. It was a great welcome stepping off the plane to, I think, negative one today. And, you know, I know the weather's been great up here, and I guess I brought it back. You know, my time back, I bring the cold weather.
86 yesterday when you were practicing, you said?
Let's not rub that in. I lived 11 years in Maine, so this time of year, you just got to think warm. I know that. Think sun.
Well, we'd like to believe that you came all the way up here just to visit with us and talk about the book, but actually, you had a bigger mission. You got a chance to see your daughters playing for the Maine women's hockey team.
I did. This is my last in-person visit. I got a chance to see a couple over the break, and we start practice next week, so I figured there was a cheap flight, and I jumped on a plane to come up to watch them play, take on Merrimack today and tomorrow. So they got a tie today. Need to get a win tomorrow, but it's nice seeing the team play.
And they're having a great time with this, right?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, obviously, we know a lot of people up at UMaine, and UMaine was such a special place to me. I got a big spot in my heart for all the people I've met and, obviously the people that I've worked with up there. So I'm just really fortunate that we have our daughters now going to school here.
And I can't believe we were talking about during the news break. I can't believe this is going to be your fourth season at Stetson.
Yeah, this is it. It was kind of weird. I left in December when Pete Dunn retired. So really it's my fourth season, 3.5 years, I guess you can call it. But yeah, we're just ready to gear it up and, get after it. Just like UMaine Black Bears are starting probably to get their kids back on campus and start practicing baseball and softball also.
So when did you find the time and what prompted you to write a book?
It's a crazy story. And I never thought I'd be sitting here even 6 months ago and talking about this. But, all the time I had at UMaine, I got to meet such wonderful people. And I think you start out your career trying to be the best baseball coach, teach them how to hit it the farthest, recruit, try to find the best pitchers. And, my time here, I started to realize my best teams – the 2006 team, that 2011 and 12 and 13 teams that were regional teams, they just had some of that extra element, that toughness. It wasn't always the most talent. It was just the culture. So about that time, I really started to be the guy. I'm like, all right, I'm going to read all these books and I'm going to try to figure out what's the best culture out there. So I read every sports book out there. But when you get a chance to talk with a Kevin Mahaney and the Alphons and Herb Sargent, these people built great businesses, and it's the same principle. So I started to read a lot of leadership books in business. And lo and behold, John Reed, who was still is the president of Maine Savings, had me come in one day to speak to his whole department on leadership and culture and team building that we do. And I just kind of struck an interest, and I started doing more and more by word of mouth. And, over the course of those, 5 or 6 years, I bet I did it 100 times. I mean, I remember sitting when the late great, I call him Kevin Griffin, when he, with Maine Roof Systems, we sat in the garage one day with a keg of beer with 100 employees talking leadership and culture. And, I always wrote my thoughts down. And, there's an author out there by the name of John Gordon, who's been very, popular with the same type of stuff. I ran into him and he kind of pushed me along and said, you should just write down your stuff. So I ended up starting writing down notes over the last year and got hooked up with his publisher, and they flew me up to New Jersey last, at the end of the baseball season and said, signed me to a deal and gave me an editor and made me sound really good on paper.
So, but important to stress too, this is not a sports book.
No, it's not. It's really a book about a bunch of values that I've learned from a lot of different people. Each chapter's a value and it tells a story of how I picked that up from somebody I met, how I tried to apply it in sport, at least to coaching, and then how you can apply that to your, being a parent, being a teacher, owning a business. And then it just basically tries to get to, I think everybody confuses values with leadership, with culture. And what I try to say is, find those values that are important to you, be really great at those values, whether it's attitude or having positive energy or, having a great image of your company. And then instill that in your people and they become leaders and they learn how to communicate better. And once you have that, then your culture becomes strong. So it's really a book to try to help out anybody out there.
And that's one of the big changes I think we've seen in the last decade or so. When you talk about leadership, the old style of the autocratic leader, everything was top down. And that could work, and it worked at a time. But I think that time is largely past. If you want to have a successful organization, or a successful team, that leadership's in many ways got to begin at the bottom up.
It does. And I think the biggest thing I try to send a message out, it's ever changing. You know, once you figure out the culture, we just talked off air about, you know, the 2018 Stetson baseball team was a super regional one hit away from Omaha. And then we thought it would be easy in 19, and it wasn't. Or you know, Maine football. I mean, I remember a year and a half ago sitting in a bar in DeLand, Florida, watching the Maine Black Bears football team play. And then, you know, one injury later or a change of a quarterback or a change of a coach, and the culture's got to be attended to all the time. So, you know, you just got to really pay attention to it and develop it inside your organization.
One of the things you say in the book is that anybody can talk about leadership and changes and core values, but it's important to take that action. And we've heard it before, actions speak a lot louder than words.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest thing I've learned, and believe me, I've made a ton of mistakes. You know, I think about all the teams I've had that I wish I could go back and re-coach them or reinstitute something. But, you know, I've learned there's really four very important keys, and this is how the book kind of wraps up. I talk about success, and ironically, when you ask somebody about success, the three things that come up is money, possessions, and fame. And in sports, it's wins. You know, hey, we want to get a good job, buy a big house, send our kids to college and not have any debt. And we want to, you know, have our company be on the front page of the newspaper. And then we want to win a national championship. But really what it is I found that if you as a leader can find good people, just what's your definition of what a good person is? And then step two is the most hardest time consuming is build relationships with those people. Empower them, serve them, you know, find ways to do leadership. And what happens is that once you build that relationship, that those people become extremely loyal and they trust you and the organization. So when it's Christmas Eve and the CEO messed up and didn't get all his paperwork in to close the big account, everybody's willing to be like, let's order pizzas. Let's put in an extra 2 hours because we got to get this done for the organization. So you know what happens when you have those four things, good people, you build relationships with them. They trust in each other and they're very loyal. Production goes up. So guess what? Those CEOs give big bonuses out. Everybody can go buy jet skis and boats. And then they do interviews why they're, you know, the best organization in the East Coast. And coaches can say we won national championships.
In athletics, often we, as coaches and players too, you often learn more from losses than you do from victories, and that applies to leadership as well. And you talk about staying positive in the face of failure.
Yeah, you know, failure is the greatest motivator with the right mindset, and it's not meant to be final or fatal. And, you know, people are going to get fired, and people are going to lose accounts, and, you know, rejection is out there. And heck, in the game of baseball, you know, we all know the saying, you know, you fail 7 out of 10 times, and you are the best. So there is a lot of failures that go on. You just have to learn how to overcome those failures with a great positive attitude mindset as an organization or a unit, because they are coming. And I think that's the biggest thing is just at today's day and age, knowing that you're going to go out there and you have to use those as motivators. But you can't do it if you're a negative Nelly, if you're shoulda, woulda, coulda-ing all the time and pointing fingers. It's really about taking ownership in those failures. One of the greatest stories I tell in the book is a sports story where in 2018, we had the best closer in the country. I mean, he won the John Olerud Award winning for the best two-way guy. And I remember vividly, we had a sophomore shortstop against Florida State. We're up by one run and 0-2 count and a little dribbler shortstop. He makes the error. That kid turns around to the mound and says, that's my fault. That kid should have never even hit that. I should have struck him out. And my shortstop's shoulders went up in the air. Two pitches later, ground ball, double play, end of the game. We beat number 4 in the country, Florida State. You know, if he would have turned around and blamed that kid and didn't take responsibility, maybe he makes another error and maybe we lose the game. So I think just learning how to deal with failures is a very important trait.
Steve Trimper with us here on Downtown. When you're looking to surround yourself with good people, how do you judge that? Do you look for people who share those core values?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously personally I have a few things that I look for. Whether, you know, now in the sporting world, we're recruiting. So we're recruiting student athletes. So we look at academics. We look at, you know, their ability. We also look at attitude. And I'll tell you what, this is where I've changed. I used to go out and look for the 500-foot home run or the 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I spend more time now looking at how do they react when they strike out. You know, do I go back to the ballpark and they don't know I'm there? And now how do they play? And I think the same thing happens in business. We want to look for whatever values are important to us. But, you know, once you bring them onto your team, now invest in those people. So, you know, in the world of business, I talk about this a lot. You know, how much time and energy do you give up as a leader? Tremendous amount if you want this to work. You know, our kid might be playing a hockey game over in Brewer, but yet our, you know, second year employee's kid is playing over at Sawyer. Well, how about grabbing two coffees and stopping in, and you miss your own kid's game and they look at you like you're crazy and like, what are you doing here? Well, hey, I heard you talking at the water cooler that your son was playing or your daughter was playing a hockey game. I just want to come over and support you and just watch a little bit. That employee is like, man, that guy's a good guy. That lady's a good. So they start to become, you know, built in the relationship, right, and they work hard for you.
And that's the name of the game. Now, I was a coach before I was a teacher, but yep, all those things that I learned in coaching translate to the classroom, and certainly they all translate to leadership as well, because the name of the game is about motivating people.
Yeah, it is. It's about, you know, this is what I talk about all the time now. I want to have somebody that I surround myself with that's going to give me 100% effort, and I can take that 50% of the time. Because if I got to have somebody that gives me 50% effort, I need them 100% of our time, which is going to take a lot of days, a lot of hours. And so, you know, you look for that energetic person that's willing to kind of, you almost want to tone them down as opposed to toning them up. And then, you know, obviously the biggest thing too I've learned from writing this book is, and it's funny because the editor was like, when we do book two, and I was like, whoa, book two, this thing took 4 years. And then all of a sudden we got going, and one of my chapters just grew and grew, and we had to chop it. And that chapter was about communication and how today so many people want to communicate with a text or Twitter or social media platforms or emails. Right.
And you say, you know, don't text, don't email, don't call when you can do it in person.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You know, the emotion that you and I have sitting in this, you know, studio is much more valuable than you and I texting back and forth. And so, you know, I think that that's my biggest message with our young guys and a lot of the employees that I'm talking to is just, you know, you got to be able to communicate. And that means you're going to sit there and be in uncomfortable situations sometimes. You're going to hear constructive criticism. You have to be able to go into the boss and say, look, this is how I would like to see me, you know, being utilized more, or this is what I can do to help. And those things are great builders of relationships when you communicate that way.
How important is it for the leader of a team, leader of an organization, to model those behaviors that you want to see people around you follow?
Well, I mean, attitude's contagious. So what you're talking about is another value of the book and chapter is just, you know, those type of situations are just contagious. So, you know, if I shake your hand, you know, at an arm's length away, you're going to do the same. If I give you the bear hug on the arm, you're going to copy exactly what I do. And I've always said it's a good example of how attitude is contagious. Well, the same thing is with communication and moving forward with that. And, you know, I think that, you know, you want to find somebody as your leaders, your captains of your team, that you can entrust those skills and values. You know, I've said this too about captains, which we can look at as like supervisors in the world of business. Mm. It's our job as leaders to train them. And we did something completely new. In 25 years of coaching, I can honestly tell you I've gotten the captains right maybe 5 times. No offense to who we picked, but, you know, you pick, you know, the kid that's popular. You pick the kid that you think has got his uniform dirty, and then they're, you know, going out past midnight and you don't know about it. And, you know, they're on the front page of the BDN why they did something wrong. And this year, I had our whole team apply if you wanted to be captains. And I had 20 guys apply.
That's great.
And then once they had the applications approved, every Tuesday we brought in a guest speaker. We had 14 weeks. I had a general. I had a CEO of a company. I had an NBA coach come in, and they talked 2 hours of leadership. At the end of the weeks, we reapplied, and we had 6 guys come forward. And those 6 are our captains. Somebody might think that it's crazy. We have 6 captains on our baseball team. But as their leader, I wanted to give this team as much training as I can before the lights are on, before we're actually in outside competition. So we prepared them better. And I think we have to do that all the time and pay attention to leadership as much as we can.
Well, you've had great success as a coach. Mm-hmm. What's it feel like? Is there a sense of accomplishment at seeing this book right here, hard copy?
I think it's kind of surreal because now I see Wiley, the publisher, in the front cover, and it's the same as a lot of popular books. And I got it hit me this week because I went on the last 14 days on the road and I was in Nashville and Boston and New York and it was moving and people were asking me about it. And then all of a sudden, Wiley sent me a message on Monday and said, hey, look at the top 100 releases on Amazon for business. Just always watch it. It's always good. And I open it up and it's number 94. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm ranked 94. This is incredible. We're not, you know, those. And then on Tuesday, it hit number 4.
Wow.
And we're sitting there right now. Actually, all week it's been the number 4 ranked of the top 100 of business leadership books. And, you know, I think that's gaining some momentum. So I think now it's like, holy cow, maybe this is some popular stuff. Yeah. So I'm really excited to kind of get back to Maine. I'm going to be down at down in downtown Bangor tomorrow with the Briar Patch. And right after the hockey game, I said, look, I'm up here to watch hockey. So I'll get down there at 5 and we're going to just see some old folks, you know, some people from my old acquaintances, and so hopefully they can come by and we can talk a little bit about the book.
Now, have you got Bob Cutler there as a bodyguard tomorrow?
This is Bob's doing. He was like, I'm setting this up. I think he might have donated the beer. I shouldn't say that because I'm going to put him on the spot, but I heard he was going to donate that part of it. But it'll be nice just to see some old folks and familiar faces and get back to my, you know, part of, you know, my roots are Maine. You know, the one thing that Larry Mahaney told me, and Dennis Libby, who's out there, who will always say this, he goes, you know, when you get here, you're not a Mainer, a Maina, okay? you're a Flatlander. That's what all Larry and Kevin called me that when I got here. And they said, every 10 years you live in Maine, we'll make you 25% Maina. So I spent 11 seasons here. So I am going to call myself a 25% Maina for the rest of my life.
That works. Well, we wish you great success with the book. Have a wonderful season with Stetson Baseball. And tomorrow night, 5 o'clock at the Briar Patch in downtown Bangor. Steve will be there for a book signing. Get to meet him, buy a copy of the book, talk, get your picture taken, all those wonderful things. It's great to see you.
Yeah, you too, Rich. A lot of special times in this building and just, you know, on the early morning shows and afternoon shows with you on the road. And that just brings back such great memories. Nothing but a 10 out of 10 experience when I'm with everybody up in Maine, especially, you know, you guys on the radio that always help me out.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Steve Trimper, the book is called Walk Off Winning. Again, 5 o'clock tomorrow at the Briar Patch on Central Street in downtown Bangor.